Lately, reporters, politicians, and the electorate have been carefully watching the ongoing battle over Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the U.S. Supreme Court. Our politics team, Mal Leary and Steve Missler, are covering what that means for Republican Senator Susan Collins. But they are also following the campaigns that could change the face of Maine's legislature. This is Maine's Political Pulse, and I'm Erwin Gratz. In addition to the fight over the Supreme Court, there are other big issues at stake for Democrats, Republicans, and Independents in this year's midterm elections. Steve and Mal spoke with Jennifer Rooks on Maine Calling this week about the possible shifting of political power in Maine's legislature and the battle over control for the State House. And now I'll turn it over to Jen.
So, Steve and Mal, when you look at the legislative races, the big picture, what are you watching?
Well, I think the big thing, Jennifer, is how much pressure is being put on parties to reshape the dynamic that currently exists here. Right now, we have split power between Democrats and the House and Republicans who have a slim majority in the Senate. And everybody's sort of looking forward to reshaping that dynamic in a way that for Democrats, it would, if they were able to get control of the legislature, they would be able to push policies. And if they can get a supermajority, if they happen to have a Republican governor in Sean Moody, they would be able to push their agenda and basically ignore his. That's what it all boils down to. And there's some bigger issues too, which is redistricting. Congressional redistricting is coming up in 2020. Maine is one of 34 states where the legislature draws the map. And so that is what's also hovering over this. And that's also why there's so much outside money coming into these legislative contests.
And Jen, the legislature is very equally divided, if you will. Republicans control the Senate 18-17, one vote. Somebody's sick, it's a tie vote. In the House, there is no majority party at the moment. The Democrats lost that majority over the course of the year. They have the plurality of the House, so they didn't lose control of the House because independents in the House vote with them. But the reality is that's a very, very close margin. With this election, we're looking at a new governor, and so we have these candidates out there in both the House and Senate that are all trying to figure out, how do I get elected in this constantly changing political landscape?
Steve, there's been a lot of national reporting on how many women candidates are running for offices, from everything from mayor to governor to Congress across the country. Are we seeing that in the state legislative races? Are we seeing a lot of women running in Maine this year?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there are 137 women running in the legislature this year, which is the most we've ever seen. The previous record was set 12 years ago when there were 116 women nominees. So we're seeing a big spike in women candidates, not just with Democrats, which is where everybody sort of places the momentum for having women candidates being recruited and run. In Maine, we have an organization that has been doing, it's called Emerge Maine, that's been doing that recruitment effort for Democrats for a long time. So Maine is a little bit ahead of the game in terms of recruiting women candidates. But the women, Republican women, are also running. There's 12 Republican women running in the state Senate, and that is also a record. And we could have potentially, if Amy Volk, who is a state senator now in Scarborough, if she's able to win re-election, and if she seeks to become the Senate president, she would be the fourth woman president in the 200-year history of that body. So there's a lot of history being made and some potential for history being made after the election in terms of who gets in and who doesn't, especially in the Senate.
This is a continuation of the number of women participating in Maine state government. It's always been higher than in many other states. At one point, I remember when half of the legislative leadership were women. We had a Senate president who was a woman and a Speaker of the House at the same time, the two top positions. So there's an ongoing message here that has just been enlarged this year in terms of the number of women seeking office.
Mal, how many people are trying to move from the state House to the state Senate?
I don't have an exact count on that, but there are several. This is where term limits kind of falls down. Let's look at a couple prominent Republicans. Representative Espling, Representative Timberlake are in the House. One's in leadership. One was on the Appropriations Committee. They're both seeking to move up to the Senate because they're term limited in the House. There's also kind of the revolving door where we have people who have served as a senator in the past running as a representative, or people who have served as a representative in the past now running as a, for the Senate. So the term limits does keep folks to just four terms, but then it allows them to seek office in the other body. So we're seeing a lot of that going on, a lot of familiar faces on the ballot in various parts of the state.
As far as fundraising, it seems that there are a few high-profile districts, a few that are really getting a lot more money poured into them than in years past. Tell me about those districts. Who's being targeted and why?
Well, a lot of them, Jennifer, are just by virtue of the fact that they're traditional swing districts. Take, say, Amy Volk's district in Scarborough. That's usually a swing district. I mean, it's gone from Democrat to Republican, from bouncing back and forth over the last 10, maybe even 10 years or longer. And so that's one of the more targeted races by these groups that can spend unlimited amount of money to influence the outcomes. And we're already seeing that. I mean, that is a heavily targeted race. The race in Belfast and Winthrop in that area, which is Senate District 11, which is the seat currently held by the current Senate President, Mike Thibodeau, that's a heavily targeted race. There's a race, Senate District 14, which is, I think, Manchester, Winthrop, Reedfield. Mm-hmm. That's another heavily targeted race. All of those are by virtue of the fact that they swing all the time. That's why we call them swing districts. So that's one reason. And you can see that in the Senate, especially just because there are bigger districts. There's more money going in there. It's a lot, as Mal will probably tell you, it's a lot harder to see that how that shakes out in the House just by virtue of the fact there's so many districts.
You got to remember, in the House of Representatives, Jen, you're only representing 9,000 plus people, which means the old-fashioned going door to door and asking for a vote is still the principal way that people campaign. Money does play a role, of course. There's direct mail and that sort of thing. But you don't get into the television ads and radio ads and social media campaigns you see in the state Senate races. Steve was talking about some of the dark money coming in, and then there's the not-so-dark money, but still money being spent to influence a race from so-called leadership PACs. Mm-hmm. Those are people who want to move up in leadership, so they go out and raise money for those PACs and then spend money on behalf of a candidate, maybe a candidate that's running as part of the publicly financed clean election system mm-hmm. that can't go any further, but this independent group can now spend money in that race. So we're going to see a lot of money spent on legislative races for the reasons we've discussed and the fact that we have so many races in play.
We've already seen, it may have actually gone over this threshold already, $4 million in outside money coming in. The majority of that money is going to influence the gubernatorial contest, but there's already a lot that is going into these legislative races. Some of them swing, some of them on the margins. To Mal's point about leadership, one of the ideas behind leadership PACs is that people who want to become, say, Speaker of the House or Senate President or something else, they form these PACs basically to go out and help other candidates. And if they are successful, that will help them in their quest to become leaders of the House and or the Senate.
And Steve, why are we seeing this year?
Well, I think part of it is what I mentioned at the top, which is that we've got the census is coming up in 2020, and that means we're going to see new congressional maps being drawn, in Maine's case, one of 34 states, by the state legislature. And so who has control in the legislature is going to have a bigger say in how those maps are drawn. And so that will make a bit, and that in turn makes a big difference in how we are represented in Congress between the two congressional districts that we have. That's one reason. Another reason is that in the past, Republicans have really had a stranglehold on state houses and governorships. I think they control, last count, 62% of legislative chambers in this country, and Democrats only control 15 governorships, which is the fewest since 1922. What you're seeing this year are outside groups that are progressive, dear towards electing progressive candidates, are trying to break that grip. They want to They understand that state legislatures are an important place for formulating policy, especially with gridlock in Congress. That's why they're focusing on state houses to do this. And so that's a big reason for that money coming in. Now, there are other consequences for that money coming in, which is that the people that are elected by virtue of that money may feel beholden to the interests of those interest groups and not necessarily the interests of Mainers.
And some of those amounts of money could get huge because of this. Now, we've always had the Republicans, at least for like 10 years, really focused on legislative races. They have spent money from the national level with special committees aimed at the legislature. Now the Democrats are doing the same thing through these independent groups. And we're starting to see amounts of money being spent in legislative races that, well, some of us anyway, could remember used to be what you needed to run for Congress in this state.
That's right.
And now you see that kind of money being spent in a state Senate race.
Yeah, to Mal's point, I mean, go back to 2010. And there was a big deal made in 2010 because the Republican State Leadership Committee, which is part of this arm of the GOP that tries to elect Republicans in state legislatures. They're active all over the country. Now, they came in really late in 2010 and dropped really, really negative flyers. And I think it was like a handful, maybe six races, legislative races. And that was considered a huge amount of money. That's nothing now. I mean, I remember it was like $400,000 at the time. We're way past that. And that just goes to illustrate the stakes that have been raised at having power in the state legislatures. Democrats are behind in that game. They're trying to catch up.
That was Maine Political Pulse's Steve Missler and Mal Leary. They discussed redistricting and the financial influence on this year's legislative races here in Maine with Jennifer Rooks on Maine Calling and here on Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Erwin Gratz. You can find more of these episodes online at mainepublic.org/politicalpulse or wherever you download your podcasts.